You could say that Phineas Taylor Barnum is the father of the sideshow. So it's only fitting that Barnum's first exhibit has a connection with the father of our country, George Washington. Back in 1835, P.T. Barnum bought a slave named Joyce Heth. Joyce Heth was said to be 161 years old. She was also said to have served as the nurse to the infant George Washington. People would pay 25 cents to see Joyce Heth. Newspaper reports described her as a black woman who was blind, toothless, and largely paralyzed, with fingernails that were 4 inches long, toenails 1/2 inch thick, and leathery skin that looked like it had been mummified or manufactured from India rubber. Benjamin Rees is the author of The Showman and the Slave, Race, Death, and Memory in Barnum's America. Rees told Steve Paulson that people didn't come just to look at Joyce Heth. They also came to listen to her.
She told stories about Washington's hatred of the Redcoats. She told stories about, you know, the typical stories about cutting down the cherry tree. In her version, I think it was a peach tree. She sang hymns that she had supposedly taught him. One interesting thing about the story she told, though, is that she apparently had no knowledge of what became of Washington. People would ask her, you know, what do you think of his political career? And she would say, I don't know anything about that. In fact, she didn't know that Andrew Jackson was president. And this was a part of, I think, what made the story kind of gratifying for white visitors. And they were pretty much all white folks who went to see her. Most of the places that she performed were strictly segregated. And I think one of the things that was gratifying for them was to get this sense of a black woman who had been at this present at this intimate moment in the story of the nation, and yet she herself didn't understand its significance in the way that they all did. So there was a way in which I think the audience was gratified by this, her exclusion from her own story.
It seems to me that this is actually a very complicated story. I mean, obviously, there was tremendous exploitation going on here. P.T. Barnum actually bought this woman as a slave and, for all practical purposes, owned her till she died. But on the other hand, she was spinning these tall tales, and she must have had some control over the stories that she was telling. And there's some element that she had a bit of the huckster in her as well.
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that really fascinated me in thinking about this story. Not only how did she endure this condition in the last months of her life as she was performing for Barnum, but how did she remain so inventive and spontaneous and funny? She sometimes made fun of her visitors, and this was always a great source of amusement for newspaper editors. She would, for instance, call, you know, somebody would criticize her, and she would say, "I'm not half as ugly as you are." So there's a way in which she was still quite animated and lively in these last months of her life, but at the same time, she really had no other choice but to perform this role. She never could have protested against the conditions of her labor. I don't think such a thing ever could have quite presented itself to her. And part of my interest in telling the story was trying to imagine it from her perspective and trying to understand, both through research and through the imaginative process, how the story developed, where it came from.
What do you think this story tells us about attitudes toward race and slavery of the time?
Well, I think one of the central things that runs throughout the story is this constant unspoken problem which it brought up, which is that we have a nation which is predicated on the idea of universal freedoms, and yet at the same time, slavery is at the center of the nation. And it's a kind of contradiction that is inherent in so much of 19th century social life. And the Joyce Heth story, I think, really brought this tension to life for people, even though they wouldn't have articulated it that way or ever quite responded to it in those terms exactly. But you have a woman, a slave woman, who is present at the mythical origins of the nation, telling, in some sense, the birth of the nation based on freedom from a position of slavery. And I think that kind of tension made for some really interesting and kind of distorted spinnings of the story in the public eye.
Now, in some ways, the story gets even more bizarre when she died. And there were a lot of questions about how old she was. And so there was actually a public autopsy done.
Yeah, as far as I know, this is the first pay-per-view autopsy in history where Barnum, in order to answer these questions about her identity, arranged to have a well-known doctor in New York perform a public autopsy, and he charged admission, charged 50 cents, which was a considerable amount. And by some reckonings, 1,500 people showed up in the city saloon, which had a large amphitheater attached to it.
Wait, so these people were coming in and watching this woman get carved up?
And watching this woman be dissected in front of their eyes. And this, for me, you know, you asked earlier, if wasn't Joyce Heth getting something out of this exhibit? Wasn't she, you know, she was spinning these tall tales and, in a sense, having fun with her audience? That aspect of the exhibit was real at points, but I think it was always contained within a larger frame of degradation of her, which was finally made most apparent in this autopsy, in which people seemed just as interested and perhaps even more interested to see her being carved up as they were to go and visit her in her living presence. And the commercial papers, particularly in New York, but to some degree nationally, picked up on this story and ran with it for months.
What did the doctor find when he was trying to determine how old she was?
Well, the doctor said that she couldn't possibly have been more than 80 years old and that the entire story was therefore a hoax. But, of course, Barnum and his associate, a man named Levi Lyman, who is completely forgotten to history but who played a pretty big role in the beginning of Barnum's career, convinced a local and important newspaper editor that the body on the table was actually not that of Joyce Heth, but that somebody else had been carved up in her stead and that she was alive and well living in Connecticut and was going to make a triumphant return, perhaps take a tour of Europe. And then there were stories upon stories added to this for weeks and months.
I know you've done some detective work into who Joyce Heth really was. What have you found out?
Well, I haven't got an absolutely conclusive proof of this, but I have a strong theory, and I wait to be knocked off my block on this. I believe that she was originally a slave on the plantation of a Heth family that lived first in Virginia in the 18th century and then had a branch that moved out to Kentucky, where she originally began performing with this earlier exhibitor who had control of the show before Barnum came along. The Heth family is an interesting family and had particularly interesting and almost intimate connections with George Washington. William Heth was a captain in the Revolutionary War who fought alongside George Washington and was also a member of the Society of the Cincinnati, which orchestrated Washington's rise to power. And he left behind a diary in which I believe I have found a reference to a slave named Joyce, although it was somewhat difficult to decipher. But he left behind a diary in which, for a several-year period, there's practically never an entry in which he doesn't in some way mention that he has this special connection to George Washington. He was, after the Revolutionary War, he was given a minor post in Washington's administration. He talks about, you know, the general took me out to the theater. The general favored me with a compliment the other day, discussed with me the burning political issues of the day, and so on. And so you can imagine this William Heth kind of holding forth on the plantation to visitors about the great man. And I think you can also imagine if there's a slave woman with a certain amount of histrionic talent and a satirical eye picking up on this story and beginning to twist it a little bit, possibly to her master's face for a bit of ribbing, or maybe with a kind of sharper edge to slaves in the back quarters, saying, you know, well, he says he dined with Washington. Well, I diapered him. And I think that's the point at which the story begins to take off. And somebody, this act becomes well developed enough that somebody decides to exhibit her at a tavern or something like that for pennies.
So your theory is that this woman was a slave of this man, Heth, and then presumably he sold her to a traveling exhibitor.
The Heth family in Kentucky, around the time that Joyce Heth began her tour as a performer, the patriarch of that branch of the family died off, and all the family goods were sold off. And there are some other bits of evidence that I won't bore you with to connect her with the man who initially exhibited Heth.
But this is really a case of an invisible woman. I mean, a woman who played a significant role in the history of popular culture, but we know virtually nothing about who she actually was.
That's right. And I think that's part of what made her so fascinating to people. There was something about her, and the claims that were made about her were so extraordinary And yet at the same time, she was sort of a cipher, a screen almost, in which people could kind of play out their fantasies. And the stories that people told about her, I think they could elaborate so fully, in part because her identity was a mystery. And she, of course, as a slave, wouldn't have been able to read and to write and to tell her own story. So there is this kind of hole in the history of American popular culture that I've tried to, if not completely to fill, at least to describe what it is and where it is.
Benjamin Reese is the author of The Showman and the Slave, Race, Death, and Memory in Barnum's America. He spoke with Steve Paulson.